Let us pray. God, be in my head and in my heart and on my lips, that I may know you and love you and speak only your word. Amen. Amen. So, Christmas morning, tired, as you might predict, and actually barely awake, my family and I sojourned long to Egan to the feast of brunch with the in-laws in their condo in Egan. And we had a delightful time, despite the fact that I could only just keep my eyes open. And we were just finishing with the presents and about to have dessert when the door opened and in came three individuals into the foyer and they began to unload gifts. I caught my wife Erin's eye and together we acknowledged that these were not people that we knew. Thinking that perhaps our somewhat introverted in-laws had done the strangest thing possible and invited friends and just not told us, we looked to them. And they were just as baffled as we were. And then the uninvited guests noticed us. And we were all startled to see each other, and they most especially to see strangers in what was supposed clearly to be a familiar gathering of friends. I'm sure they were thinking, who invited these people? They wandered out as quick as they'd come, grumbling about how all these condos look the same. And I couldn't help thinking, yes, and it's true. Showing up is the most important thing we can do. It's just good to show up at the right address. How do you show up? In the world, in your home, in your workplace, at the PTA meeting, and at the ballot box. How do you show up? And perhaps just as importantly, what compels you? What drives and draws you out of yourself toward others? Toward your family, your partner, your colleagues, your friends, your fellow citizens? Underneath and around this morning's familiar gospel story are these two simple ideas. What does it mean to show up? And what is it that draws us? How do you show up? What draws you? 4 years ago this month, the unthinkable happened in Paris. Armed fanatics attacked ordinary citizens and journalists in the city, killing 17 innocents. The headlines afterwards screamed about religion and extremism, about Islam and immigration. In the midst of it all, a small story emerged. I know some of you have seen it because I've seen you sharing this story again more recently about Lassana Bathily, a Malian-born man, a kid really, the age of 24, and a Muslim, who was working in a stockroom of a store when a gunman broke in, taking the lives of four people in that store. Bathily hid several other customers, all of them Jews, in the fridge in the back of the store, disrupting the freezer function so they wouldn't be cold before sneaking out to get help. His actions were largely regarded as heroic, and his story was, as you can guess, compelling. The French government granted Bathily citizenship in gratitude for his heroics. Though, as the BBC reported in 2015, when the story had just broken, Lassana Bathily did not think of himself as a hero. "People say I'm a hero," he said, "but I'm not a hero. I'm Lassana. I'll stay the same. I would do the same again because I was following my heart." In 2018, again in Paris, after the brutal murder of Holocaust survivor Muriel Knoll in her apartment, Bathily again showed up, this time at a vigil in Knoll's honor. Knoll's killer had been identified as Muslim, and again, Bathily wanted to show solidarity as a Muslim man with the Jewish community. As the Times of Israel reported, Lassana Bathily had a message, and so he stopped and told reporters, "I want to tell the Jews of France that you are not isolated. You are not abandoned. This is your country. Do not leave France. Stay here. There are many like me who support you." Battili showed up courageously, but humbly and with compassion. Battili showed that he could follow the better angels of his nature, or in his words, I followed my heart. How do you show up? What draws you, and what or who do you follow? The Magi of today's gospel, these so-called wise men, follow a star and are compelled to find the king the star portends. And they come, they show up with gifts appropriate to such an occasion, with gold and frankincense and myrrh. They come to pay homage and arrive in a spirit of humility, deference, and even worship. Often this scene is portrayed as is the whole of the nativity story, even as we see presented this morning in our own creche, as a moment of great tranquility and peace. While in actual fact, Jesus was likely a toddler, at least in the chronology of Matthew's gospel. Often Christmas cards and pageants and yes, creches, much like our own, have the wise men stumbling into the stable tableau next to donkeys and cows, close on the heels of the shepherds, those lovable shepherds and their flocks. And the whole scene often radiates the kind of a soft warmth and a homely glow. But the backdrop of this story, the story that Matthew tells, like the backdrop of the story of Lasana Battili, like the backdrop of our own world today, is one often riddled with terror and ruthless men striving at all costs for power. Let us not forget Herod, the desperate proxy king, a would-be great man whose quest for power we heard last week during the season of Christmas in a scene that follows directly on this story this morning when Herod, in his rage, orders the execution of all two-year-old boys, the least Christmassy of all Christmas stories. The slaughter of the innocents is the momentary amplification of a persistent background noise of grinding fear and ever-present violence in the world. The wise men follow their star through peril, and under the watchful eye of tyrants, they show up to Jesus and worship despite the very real and terrible consequences that such an act might hold. Today we observe the Feast of the Epiphany, as theologian Dr. Stephanie Buchanan Crowder describes. The word epiphany, you might remember, connotes appearing or showing. She says, show up, show on, show out, maybe even show off. And there are many epiphanies in this story. As she describes, the intermingling of conflict with call, a call to revere, is palpable. There is terror and tension. There is also wonder and worship. Herod is so filled with anxiety and paranoia that he fabricates his intent to pay homage. Nevertheless, this wise group travels through the deceit in order to share out of their treasure. Herod's anger stands in stark contrast to the awe and curiosity of the Magi. He is overcome with fear. Upon seeing the child, the Magi are overwhelmed with joy. Herod is not the recipient of honor, and the horror he inflicts later upon innocent children reflects his displeasure. Yet the bowing of the Magi, she writes, to the newborn Jesus reveals their understanding of the promised one. The Magi show up. Herod shows out. This morning, that tension is present in our world too. With a rise in anti-Semitic and anti-immigrant violence, in a world literally on the brink of war, in a world driven too much by the fears and ambitions of would-be great men, we are called to show up with our voices, our votes, as well as our compassion and our curiosity. We are called to show up non-violently in a violent world. We are called to show up humbly in a world decimated by the proud and by braggarts. We're called to show up vulnerably in a world that often only values strength, to be tender in a world of brutality. Now, this past Friday was my favorite author and fellow nerd J.R.R. Tolkien's birthday. And one of my favorite quotes of all his most famous story, The Lord of the Rings, is an interaction between the two protagonists, Frodo the Hobbit and Gandalf the Wizard, discussion group to follow in the library. And they're discussing the terrible task facing them of destroying the Ring of Power, that symbol of ultimate evil. "I wish it need not have happened in my time," said Frodo. "So do I," said Gandalf. "And so do all who live to see such times. But that is not for them to decide. All we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to us. How do you show up? What or whom do you follow? Indeed, if we are true to the calling given us in baptism, we follow a God who shows up in all circumstances, in the midst of joy and sorrow, in the midst of suffering and delight. We serve a God who shows up most of all in the forgotten places and among the least and the lost. We serve a God who is showing up always and ever on the margins of society, among the oppressed and the persecuted, among the innocent who are always the victims of would-be great men. And we follow that God into the same places, into places of hurt and suffering, into places of grief and loss. Just as our Community of Hope pastoral care team, who will be commissioned in just a moment, maybe already know or will soon find out, well, all of our call as people of faith is to follow Jesus into the places of deepest need, to the bedside of the dying, to the kitchen table of the grieving, to the visitor standing alone at coffee hour. We show up in word and in the flesh when we welcome the homeless at Project Home, when we speak out for immigrants and asylum seekers, when we stand against anti-Semitism and sexism and homophobia. We show up to each other in the church and beyond these walls in small acts of kindness and magnificently large acts of generosity, for we follow the God of all generosity, who put aside glory, becoming one of us, to be with us. So this, my friends, this is how we show up. And this is whom we follow. Amen.
Amen.